part two, right, of Tommy's Police.
Wow, some good singing there. Very good singing. So we're going to get into session number two, and we talked the first four parts on the beliefs of the culture, beliefs of the Amish. Let's see if I can do that like that. It's getting warm here, ladies. So now we're going to talk about the fifth one. Belief in Jesus Christ. The church teaches that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he came to earth, died for our sins, and rose again on the third day. Right. That's what the Amish teach. But they don't teach that you can be saved and know that you can be saved. It's a head knowledge and not a heart thing. For the majority of the sects, believing in Jesus Christ and his work is on the cross is head knowledge only. And it's a mechanical thing that the Amish believe. And part of an extensive list of things goes to believe and do. Believe and do. They believe that you have to do this and do that, and do the works of what your parents and what your forefathers have taught you your whole life in order to have some sort of salvation. Because of the heavy focus and value placed on outward appearances and lifestyle, heart generation is ignored. Heart generation ignored. Did you know, I think, like Pastor was talking yesterday, that's a lot in our churches today.
Yeah.
It's a lot in our churches today. And I want to tell you, I just told Joe, I said, man, I get emotional every time we sing here and stuff. I mean, this is just phenomenal. I've been to probably four or five different Amish awareness conferences, and I've never been to one as much as this has touched me. This one has really touched me. So it makes it all the worthwhile to travel out here for God. It makes it all worthwhile for that. Sandy has texted me several times. She knows some family of mine, which is my grandpa's half-uncle that lives up near Fillmore, correct? Ernest Girard. And Ernest has a big family up there. And Sandy's been reaching out to them, witnessing to them and stuff, and she's been praying for a revival. I told Joe last night, I said, I don't know what's going to become of this conference, but I feel something big happening. I don't know, the Spirit had just felt like yesterday when Jonas taught, last night sitting in here, God has brought this together, has put it in your heart to allow us to come up here and do this. And you know, and yes, we're human beings, Joe and I. Sometimes we wonder, I don't know if Joe do, but I wonder like, okay, what's this conference gonna be like? You know, just people just wanna hear us, is that what they want? Or do they really want to reach out to the Amish people? And I can feel it here. And I know there's a lot of Amish people here. And I'm just blessed beyond measures that you guys want to reach out to them Amish people, because we have a hard time connecting to them. In other words, we have a hard time reaching to them because they put a wall up as far as being ex-Amish, because we're ex-Amish and they cannot accept anything from us because we're ex-Amish. So thank you again so much for doing that. Line D there in your book, it says, believing in Christ, adhering to church rules, and following traditions and practice of the forefathers hold equal value. Mm-hmm. Doing one without the other avoids the salvation package. A day before baptism and church membership, ministers and candidates meet one last time to go over the next day's agenda. During that meeting, the bishop informs candidates of the following question: do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And when posed, they're to respond, say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But in your book there, it says, warning, don't be fooled by an Amish person who says the right words when asked he or she believes about Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. A helpful follow-up question is, can you believe in Jesus, leave the rest of salvation package, which is previously listed on here, and still go to heaven? Many people come to me since I've been saved and say, well, I think this Amish guy is saved. I think this Amish guy is saved. I think the Amish lady is saved. The Amish, in a sense, they don't know that they're doing this, but they give you enough of an answer, basically, in plain words, to shut you up. We have our religion. You keep yours to yourself. And in a respectful way, the best that they can, they give you enough of an answer to shut you up. Because We have our religion. We have our rules. We have our regulations. We have our Bible. You have yours. Just believe what you want to believe. We'll believe the way we were taught. That's what I used to say. And that's the way it is with the most Amish people, especially those I know. Now, I can't speak for all the sects of Amish people, but the most conservative peoples, like the Swiss type, like the Schwarzschild type, people had witnessed to me over the years and all that stuff, and that's usually what I would say. I had no answers to a lot of that stuff. I said, look, this is the way we believe. Now that you drive a car, it's okay that you drive a car. You were born with it. But me, it's a sin for me to drive a car because I was not born with driving a car. So it's a sin. That's what I would answer to a lot of them. And a lot of people that reach out to them. But it never hurts. They keep probing those questions. And I just love, Denise, is that your name?
Yeah.
I just love when she says, we didn't care. He's coming.
Yay.
He's coming. And they went. Mowed the yard. Sometimes you need that. But you know the Spirit of God leads you in that.
Yes. That's
right.
Yes.
Don't do it out of yourself.
Right.
Do it out of the Spirit of God. Because there's many testimonies that I hear that says, if he'd have shut up, I wouldn't be here today. But he didn't shut up. And this is one guy. He kept ministering to me for 2 days. He didn't shut up. But I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, he said the gospel to me over and over and over. And I'll share my testimony a little bit on that, but I got so frustrated. He kept asking me, do you believe the Bible? Yeah, I believe the Bible. Okay, well, just read what the Bible says here. Forget everything that you've been taught. Then I would bring up another question. I'd come up with another opposition. He said, he would repeat it. You believe the Bible, right? Yes, I believe the Bible. Yes. But then just read what the Bible says. Don't believe what your dad taught, your mom taught you for now. Just chuck that for now.
Yes.
It took 2 days. I finally heard what God was saying. But I'm going to get into that a little bit. We're going to get into a video here on the new birth of a true conversation that took place between Andy Geezy, is his name, and an Amish man named Amos. Andy asked for permission to do an interview with this and take notes with this. And this is the questions, and these questions that are being asked to Amos is actually in your book. I think it's in page 80-something. These questions are in here in your book. So take note what this guy is asking, because these are very, very good tools that you can use alongside with the Word of God to reach people. Let's see if this audio plays here.
Dennis, are you familiar with John chapter 3 and the story about Nicodemus and Jesus?
Yeah.
What is your understanding of how a man must be born again?
Living right, repentance, forgiveness.
Amos, do you want to see the kingdom of God?
Yes.
What is your hope based on?
My right living, my good works.
Is that what the Bible teaches?
I don't know.
Amos, have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
Have you ever stolen anything?
Maybe, probably, yes.
Amos, do liars and or thieves go to heaven?
No.
Amos, are you familiar with the book of Genesis and the events that took place in the Garden of Eden?
Yes.
How many commandments did Eve break before God put them out of the garden?
One.
How many sins does a person have to commit before God will not allow them into heaven?
I don't know.
Well, Amos, how many good things does a person have to do in order to not go to heaven?
I don't know.
Well, why do you think Jesus had to die on the cross?
For sins.
Amos, what does grace and faith have to do with getting into heaven?
It points us to God, to heaven, and to Jesus.
Well, Amos, have you received that grace personally?
Yes.
How did you receive it?
I don't know.
Amos, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself? One would be nearer to hell and 10 were nearer to heaven. Where would you find yourself on the scale of 1 to 10?
I don't know.
So you could hear that Amos is very sincere in that interview that he had with him. You could hear that he was very serious. He didn't know a lot of those things. I didn't either. When I was lost and undone, I had people that asked me very similar questions to that. I didn't know. I just knew that whatever my dad and mom did, whatever my grandfathers did, whatever my grandmother did, on and on and on, it's the right thing all the way back to the Anabaptist times. Last night, as I was sitting here, and Jonas was giving the history of the Anabaptists, you know, they were true followers of Christ when that took place. And it just went down from generation to generation to generation, and it finally became a tradition. I mean, we really believed, and that's the way the Amish are today, they really believed that, you know, they always would preach, a lot of their sermons were preached upon, based upon stories from the Anabaptist movement. How they had such hard times. I remember some of the preachers in my church, they would preach, you know, they had hard days and we should be very fortunate in today, how we got it today, you know, and how today's life is we don't get murdered anymore for our faith and we don't get this and that, you know, and it's just, they based everything off of that. Sixth thing is submission to ordinance letter. Submission to ordinance letter in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, it says, Jesus to Peter, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, whatsoever thou shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The Amish would take a rule, they would create a rule from their church, and then they would make it, put it on the church ordinance letter, because whatever's bound on earth is bound in heaven. And so I knew that as an Amish man growing up, there was many rules and regulations that we created, and there was rules and regulations that we made, and then later made them no longer available or possible. In other words, we abandoned it. We don't need it anymore. And that put questions into my life as I was growing up, because if God made it in heaven, does God change his mind? Is a God of author of confusion? No, pastor said he's not an author of confusion. That's true. The Bible says that too. Man, that is though. And then the Matthew 16, verse 19, above, it says, talks about interpreted to mean when the church binds, which establishes a rule on earth, is bound and established in heaven. In heaven, a family member will excommunicate and shun another when he or she stops following the rules established by the church. So when we leave the church, when we leave the Amish community, we're shunned and excommunicated based upon because of leaving and not following the church rules. And you know, does anyone know what the ultimate offense is for an Amish man? What is the ultimate offense for an Amish man? You can be in any kind of sexual immorality, sin, that you can stand in and make your things before the church, on the bench, before the preachers, and before the congregation, and be okay with it and wipe it under the rug and go on in life. That's not the ultimate offense. But according to God, that's a bad offense. You know, that's against the word of God. It's wrong. There's many sins out there. The ultimate offense for an Amish man is simply just leaving. That's the ultimate offense. Nothing else. It doesn't matter how good I am outside the Amish community. If I do so many good things for the community in the English society, in this culture, anything good I do is no good. I can be the best that I ever want to be outside the community. Even serving the Lord and doing everything and what I feel like is right in the heart, in my heart. The ultimate offense, according to the Amish man, is that they cannot accept anything that I do or anything that Joe does or anything that the ex-Amish do because you left.
Yeah.
That's cut off. That's it. That's cut off. The ordinance letter is a list of handwritten rules in the church. The church adheres to. The length and the details of the letter vary from sect to another. The more conservative the church, the longer and more detailed. A bishop's wife once said, you have to be careful how much you read in the Bible because the Bible was written long before the Amish came along. Her reasoning was, if Bible disagrees with the ordinance letter, go with the letter. That's what a lot of them believe. There's so many testimonies. We have files upon files of testimonies from people that have written in to missions, Amish people. So many letters of people where they left the Amish and bishops has told them that don't believe what the Bible says. You got to do what the tradition tells us. And that's exactly what this lady here says. In line B there, the Ordnung is a German word for order and arrangement, organization or system. The ordinance letter originally used as a fencing method to keep the church members from crowding or breaking God's commandment and gradually grew in its number of rules. Eventually, the rules widened the gap between the Amish and the outside rules world, which is English. When I left the Amish, I thought you still had to have some sort of rule. You cannot just have grace by faith, grace by faith, and believe that Jesus goes, believe in Jesus and go to heaven. You can't. You have to have a line. I just knew you had to have a line, and I would argue with Job, you have to have a line. You can't just believe in your heart, like you're saying, and go to heaven. Job would never argue with me. Never argue with me. And that's the thing that I just admire to this day still. I'm so blessed. Because it was always the word of God. It was based upon this, not his opinion. Not your opinion. It's this. And every time that I was introduced to that and said that, he said, well, let's just see what the Bible says. And then I was asked to read it. And when I read Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting which was against us and contrary to us,
yeah,
and nailing it to the cross, that's when the light bulb went on for me. And that's very important to bring that up when you talk to Amish people, or even a former Amish that's lost that you might know of. Always put the Word of God first. And that speaks to me loudly, and I try to use that same tool today with former Amish or anyone that's lost. You know, don't believe what I say. I'm a nobody. This is the Word of God. This is the truth. This is what you can use right here. This is what you got. This is the only thing. Let's just believe what this is. And you can explain Romans 3:23, 6:23, and just go on down the road in that way. So we have another audio here on Amos and Andy in the same interview about church ordinances versus Bible. So listen, this is far often more emphasized and placed on church rules.
Amos, does your denomination, the Amish Church, have rules that guide your life, such as what clothes you can wear, and so forth?
Yes.
In your church, who makes the rules?
The bishop.
Amos, are you allowed to disagree with the rules?
Yes.
What happens if you do disagree with the rules or choose not to follow them?
You receive some forms of discipline.
I see. If they leave the Amish church, what would happen to them?
They'll be put in the ban.
Amos, is that practice a correct biblical practice?
Not really. I don't know.
Okay. Can you give a biblical example, maybe?
I don't know.
Amos, do you own a snowmobile or other similar device?
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
If you could own one, would you?
I don't know.
Is there a biblical reason for your answer?
He didn't have a biblical reason for his answer. In Mark chapter 7, verse 6 and 9, it says, he answers and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, the people honors me with their lips, but the heart is far from me. They have a zeal. The Amish have a zeal. And if you read in Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through 3, I think it is, says that the hearts are far from me, and talks about how they had a zeal for God, but yet they were far from God. And that's exactly the way it is with a lot of the Amish. Most of the Amish, they have that zeal. They live that life of unity. And everybody just marvels at their lifestyle, just marvels at what the kind of lifestyle they got and how they're together. And that's a good thing, like Joe shared this morning. It's a valuable thing. And to this day, I'm thankful for those things, because I ingrained that into my family. As I bring my family up, every time that I'm home, we always eat at the same table. Eat at the table. We don't eat on the couch or whatever. We eat on the table, by the table, and we say our prayers and we do everything. So a lot of those things and the work ethic that we were taught, we also teach our children the same thing in that way too. And then it says, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold traditions of men. For well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For well. Then the next thing is that the church letter governs every life detail. Every life detail. And the first one is church-controlled education. Academic, children are prohibited from going beyond 8th grade, which is a comparable of 5th grade education today in today's society. I only had 8th grade education. When I went for GED, a lot of the things that I did a test for before I did the GED, I never even got my diploma. I quit because I didn't think I needed to get the GED, because I got my own business, so I'm not going to go to the factory. So I actually, a year after I left the Amish, I couldn't become a, I always wanted to be a law enforcement. I knew I couldn't when I was Amish. So after I left, I sought to be a deputy. Well, I had to have a GED. I didn't have it. So I didn't want to go through the classes. So I knew that I can run for sheriff at least. I don't have to have GED. So I ran for sheriff. And I lost by 24 votes in the primaries. But I would love to do that, get into that. But sometimes, you know, you just got to learn what you got and what God gave you and go on in life, you know. So I never did that. But maybe someday, I don't know, we'll see what happens. Teachers and preachers, doctors, midwives, counselors, farmers, and carpenters all hold the same education level. However, those in leadership, doctors and midwives, etc., are encouraged to buy books and access the public library for more knowledge in their profession. My uncle, he was a veterinarian, basically. He was a veterinarian, and he knew every part of a horse. He knew the ins and outs of every horse. I went to him. He only learned that by reading books. That's all he learned was by reading books. And he was a farrier. He taught me a lot on horses, and I knew a lot about horses in that way, on farrier work and veterinary work and stuff like that. I used to do a little bit of veterinary work because he did, but he knew everything. Joe's dad is an Amish doctor, and he learned a lot of that stuff just from reading books. They didn't go to college. They didn't go to higher education or any way that. They would go to seminars sometimes. I don't know if your dad ever went to seminars or not, but there's another Amish doctor called Solomon Wicke. He was known worldwide. He had people coming from all over the world, and he would doctor people and claim that he healed them and all that stuff, but he would go to seminars and so forth and learn from there. It was no college education. And then the church-controlled religion. Bible is written in German. Bible studies are forbidden except for immediate family. We used to have Bible studies every other Sunday because we had church every Sunday. So in between churches, we would have our own family Bible study. It wasn't through the week or in the morning devotions. Now, lots of more liberal churches, liberal communities, they have morning devotions. Matter of fact, just where I live, in the community I live, 11 miles west, is my Amish family, where they're from. They're more conservative. And in the area where I'm living at, is more of a liberal sect of Amish, Shipshawana-type Amish. They have, a lot of those families have morning devotions. And I've witnessed to them, and I've drove them around. They'll ride with me, because we never had fellowship with them when I was Amish. So they'll ride with me, so they consider me just as part of you guys, the world of people that don't know nothing. And so they'd ride with me, and they're okay with that. And they talk so close to what the word of the truth is, but yet you can still hear they don't have a true testimony. But they know just enough that it's to say, to basically people think that they're saved people. And most of them are lost, isn't anything. But religious is most sects are, Amish sects are discouraged from reading the Bible in English. The German Bible is considered to be the true Bible, although German is the least understood language in the three used in this culture. Libraries, as far as religion is concerned, are tightly controlled, but those in authority are of 10, narrowed to the following written in German, which is the Bible, the Apocrypha, Martyr's Mirror, Hymn Book, Prayer Book, 18 Articles of Faith. Those were their Bible. That was the Bible. That's the Bible in the Amish communities. Is that right there? The 18 Articles of Faith is a very sacred thing in the Amish community. The Prayer Book is a very sacred thing. Now that I pray from the heart, that is, they just can't believe that I just pray from the heart. That book, that prayer book, is just other people's prayers that they've written. That is so sacred. That is more important than just saying, you can just say anything. That's how they view that is. But God wants us to speak from the heart, not just some written prayer. That's what God wants to do, wants to speak us from the heart. Here's another audio on, let's see, this is about the German Bible that Amos had asked Andy. Andy had asked Amos about it, so I want you to listen to this too.
Well, Amos, to you personally, what is the most important book for a person to own and read? The Bible? I see. What are the main religious books of your denomination in the Amish Church? The Bible. Okay. Are there any other books that you use?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Do you use the Bible?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What translation do you use?
German translation.
I see.
Martin Luther.
Okay.
Linus, do you read other books and or newspapers besides the Bible?
Yes.
Well, what types of books do you read?
Magazines, Investors, Hunting.
I see.
Reader's Digest.
Okay. Linus, do you read a newspaper also?
Yes.
So which one would you read?
Evening News. Yeah.
Okay. Well, on average, James, how often do you read the New Era or the Reader's Digest?
Every day.
I see. Okay, very good. Well, Amos, can you give me a yes or no answer? Do you understand the language that the newspaper book is written in?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On average, how often do you read the Bible?
About once a week.
I see. Do you always understand what you're reading in your Bible?
No, not really.
Can you tell me why?
Because it's in German.
I see. Okay. Amos, why do you commit more time to reading a secular or worldly newspaper than the book that you claim is the most important?
I can't answer that.
Well, Amos, do you feel that God is pleased with your answer?
Can't answer that.
Amos, are you bilingual, able to speak more than one language?
Yes.
I see. Which ones are you fluent in?
Pennsylvania Dutch and English.
I see. Do you know any more languages, or just those two?
No.
Mm-hmm. Do you read and write in those languages?
No.
Which language out of the two do you understand the best?
Dutch and English.
Oh, okay, both of them. Which language is your Bible written in, Amos?
German.
I see. What language do you read the newspaper in?
English.
Why, Amos, if you could read the paper in the same language as your Bible, would you?
No, I don't know.
So he had no idea. So we read the German Bible, and I could hardly understand the German Bible. I didn't know most of the words in the German Bible, even though I could read it. So on our in-between Sunday, when we would have our family devotions or family Bible study, Dad would read. We would all read from the Bible. Then Dad would explain it to the best way that he could understand what it meant, pertaining to past experiences on what it means, using other enemies, basically, on that to justify our reason why we were where we were where we were. Church-controlled lifestyle. Everything is controlled. Appearances must be standardized. The style and brim of size of hats, men's hats and women's, head coverings, garments for the body, shoes and stockings, haircuts, and etc. Everything is controlled. The lifestyle is controlled. Men must wear hats, black wool hats in the winter, straw hats in the summer. Brim size changes depending on the age and throughout life. For example, when you were a preacher in our church, when a man became a preacher, he had to wear 4-inch brim hats. Any other man had to wear 3.5-inch. That's how you made the difference if that guy's a preacher or not. And so it always mattered what size brim it is, how high your crown is, and what size your brim is. Everything mattered in the lifestyle. Men's haircuts are uniformed. Mustaches are forbidden because historically, in German culture, they are associated with military officers after marriage. The young men are forbidden to shave except upper lip or trim their beard. So I was always allowed to shave here and just here a little bit, but never our beard or trim our beard or nothing. We're not allowed to do that. Everything is controlled, church controlled. And then it's also, the women also wear head coverings at all times except while sleeping. Specifications are in depth and in force. The color denotes the marital status. So where my wife came from, if you were married, you had to wear a white cap. But if you were single, you wore a black cap. Where I come from, we wore black caps, period. Married or single, it doesn't matter. We had to wear. So every community is different, but it's still controlled. Women are prohibited from shaving any part of their body. Clothing must be home-sewn, using a specific material and pattern. And that was their fashion. You know, what kind of material do you have? Where did you get your material? And certain material were allowed to have. I never knew which one it was. But there was, I remember I would go to some Amish stores and get a material because I saw, I liked the color. Color's okay, but it was the wrong material. I mean, I never knew a lot of that stuff. Some Amish communities require members to wear suspenders, but belts are forbidden. Some are stricter sects. Members are forbidden to use deodorant. Some members are forbidden to use deodorant. This is probably not too nice to say, but I have some friends outside the Amish. They're English people, and we talk quite a bit and stuff, and kind of joke around a little bit and stuff. And the one lady said, "Man, I'm so glad you left the Amish." I said, "Why is that?" She said, "Because you don't stink." I just said, "Amish guys in here that stink." And some of them, they have an odor. They don't realize it, but they have an odor because they don't wear deodorant and they don't bathe every week. Every day, I mean. They bathe on a weekly basis. They don't bathe, they don't shower every day. Yeah. And so from the farm smell, from the house smell and stuff like that, they don't really realize that they have an odor to them. So they're sometimes forbidden to even have a deodorant in that way. And then that's appearances, church controlled appearances. Everything is controlled from what color buggies you can have, what kind of wheels you can have on your buggies, what kind of clothing you're supposed to wear, which I went through that. Everything is controlled, all the way down to shopping. When shopping comes in place, you were allowed to have only certain colors of paint. You were allowed to have certain lamps. And we had rules on lamps, for example. We had lamps, what they call rail lamps. They're round wick lamps. And then there's straight wick lamps. Polly, my wife, grew up with just straight wick lamps and not with rail lamps. We had rail lamps. They were a lot brighter and all that. Everything was controlled. Everything was controlled for what color shoes you wear and what style of shoe you wear. The women, what style of shoes. I just found out the other day, my wife said that from Thanksgiving to Easter, they were supposed to wear high top shoes. The women were. Not slippers. High top. I never knew that. They were supposed to wear high top shoes and not slippers. And she said, the minute that Easter was, I had my slipper on. She said, you can wear high tops any time of the year you want to. But in the summertime, you had to wear slippers from Easter to Thanksgiving, or you can wear high tops. Because high tops are way more, not near as fancy or near as fashionable, but slippers are. So it's okay to wear high tops anytime, but not slippers in the wintertime from Thanksgiving to Easter. And so they had to always change that off. And where I grew up at, we weren't a lot of that stuff, wasn't that important to us, but she grew up with a lot of things like that, and so are many Amish like that. And for example, I had 8 sisters. My dad was the bishop, and the new fashion that came out was slippers for girls that had wedge heels. They didn't have the heels notched out of them. And so if you can picture a wedge sole here, they're supposed to look like that. So Dad would take a knife and cut a groove in there to make it look like a heel, because if it was a wedge, that was too worldly. That fashion. My wife just told me the other day, I didn't know about this, but she told me that her dad, or they as children, they went to a shop, an Amish guy that had a shop, and he took the shoe and put it on a sanding belt and grooved a groove in there, you know, because that was too worldly. My dad took all 8 of my sisters' brand new shoes and took a knife and put a groove in there. I think that happened with your dad too or something, didn't it? And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, but that's the way it was. We cannot have it too worldly or too fashionable in that way. Everything was controlled from what kind of sewing machines you have, what kind of flashlights. A lot of them were not allowed to have flashlights. They were allowed to have lanterns. Everything was controlled. I could go on and on and on here. Farming was controlled. If you ever were supposed to farm with horses and not have tractors, although there's a lot of Amish that do have tractors. A lot of them have tractors. A lot of them use tractors. And they use them for transportation too much anymore. And people are getting out of hand with that as well. Some communities are allowed canned milk, but not can't have bulk tanks. Everything is controlled all the way down to the farming. In Colossians 2:14, this is a scripture that I got saved on right here. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way and nailing it to the cross. Everything that we held up, that we thought we had to have for salvation, Jesus took it to the cross. Yeah. Everything he took to the cross. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. So church-controlled family, birth control is prohibited, although some do birth control. I've heard recently that some Amish do birth control. Divorce is forbidden, although over the past few years, more couples are separating and remarriage is never allowed within Amish culture. Children do become of age until they reach 21. They do not become of age until they reach their 21st birthday. So I was not able to keep my money until I was 21 years old. And so in the ministry, which we're going to get into that this afternoon, but in the ministry, that's why when a lot of them leave the Amish, they have no life skills. They have no control over their money. They have no control of making the right decisions. In other words, they don't know because everything is controlled in their lifestyle. So when I left the Amish, when I turned 21 in the Amish culture, I finally was able to keep my own money. And I didn't know a lot how to spend it, but I learned, and thank God I learned a little bit more how to handle it. But we, as a ministry, we get a lot of young men and women that come out that are not 21 yet, that have no control over their money. No control over their money whatsoever. So we deal with that a lot. Human sexuality and pregnancy are never discussed between parent and child. Human sexuality is never discussed between parent and child. And that's one thing that my wife had to learn. My wife's mother was a midwife. She delivered hundreds of babies. But my wife never knew really where a baby comes out. She never knew that. She just didn't. She didn't. My wife never was taught about sex and never was taught about babies, even though her mother was a midwife. So wasn't I. I wasn't either. I had to learn that a lot on my own. And then also, income working from outside the home goes to the parents until the son or daughter reaches age 21, which is what I just shared there. Church-controlled leadership. Each church district has up to 25 families and led by one bishop, one deacon, and two lay ministers. Typically, that's what a community is, up about 25 families. Some of them are more, but that's on the average. And filling a minister's position is via church member vote and casting lots. Members cast votes for who they think would best carry out the church orders and forefathers' traditions. Any man who receives three or more votes is placed in a lot. Then each member in a lot is given a songbook. The man who has a paper note in a songbook is chosen by God and the church to perform the minister's position. You were drawn by the luck of draw. That's how you were drawn to be a minister. It wasn't called to be the minister. You were voted in. Three in the Swiss district is the men with the two highest votes is one that sit on a bench. And I think in a lot of the Pennsylvania Dutch type people or like Joe's people is like, what was it in your source tuber, three or four?
The higher the many were in the lot, then they had that many books. So then they would mix them up and then...
Well, whoever got the paper is the minister.
Yeah.
Yeah. So church-controlled leadership and church-controlled services. Church-controlled services is bi-weekly, move from house to house. Design church building is considered worldly and forbidden by forefathers. There's a lot of information there that you can read on. Humility, meekness, poor in spirit, obedience, peace, hope, separate, honesty, simplicity, and hard work. Not conforming to this world, which talks about that in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The journey towards heaven is a life of hope. Humility, obedience, and simplicity, and hard work. Salvation includes turning the other cheek to those who prosecute you. Faith without works is dead. That's what they use a lot. Faith without works is dead. So if you can't show the Amish tradition and what you have been taught, you have no faith. That's what they relate that to. And so that's the end of my session there. I'm going to open up for questions. If anybody has any questions, we have about 3 minutes. Does anybody have any questions? There's so much information there that I can go on and on, but you can read it for yourself as well. I'm going to open up for questions on what we just talked about.